Now today, in our study of the book of Genesis, we have reached chapter 40, the 40th chapter of the book of Genesis. I trust that all my listeners will find time to sit down at home and read again these wonderful records of the workings of God in the lives of these people. Now, just before we look at this chapter and learn the lesson, let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we turn to Thee again. There's never a day dawns but we need Thee, and when we come to Thy Word, how much we need Thee. Wilt Thou by Thy Holy Spirit help us to understand that we're reading and learning from the sacred revelation. And grant, O God, that today by Thy Holy Spirit Thou shalt speak to all our hearts, that each one will receive the message that they stand in need of. Hear us in these things, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in coming to chapter 40, we are continuing now to learn things pertaining to the man called Joseph. Do you remember, way back in the beginning of our studies in Genesis, I made this remark that when reading through this first book of the Bible, you'll learn how God works with individuals and with families. I pointed out that if you studied certain men and their families, you would have a general working knowledge of the book of Genesis. There was Adam and his family, Noah and his family, Abraham and his family, Isaac and his family, Jacob and his family. And in the midst of all the sons of Jacob, the focus now turns to Joseph. We have learned this from chapter 37. And then one chapter was taken to tell us something about Esau and his descendants. Then back again to the family of Jacob, we learned concerning the sin of Judah. We learn concerning Joseph now being taken away down into Egypt. And so we're following through the line, showing us what happened to Joseph, which leads on to the time when Jacob and the others go down into that country. But now in chapter 40, we're looking again at things pertaining to Joseph. We'll look at Joseph as a prisoner. As a prisoner, he was faithful. We'll see him in this chapter acting as a prophet. And as a prophet, Joseph is fearless. Then we'll see him as a sufferer. And as a sufferer, Joseph asks a favor. And then we'll see him as a friend. And as a friend, Joseph is forgotten. Let us view him a little as a faithful prisoner. Verse 1. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. He put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. They continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? They said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. The chief butler told his dream to Joseph, said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it is well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For I indeed was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now we'll stop there in our reading for a moment or two. Let me press home now upon all our hearts some of the things pertaining to Joseph while he was a prisoner. I suggested to you he is marked by faithfulness. You know, Joseph had been faithful as a son with responsibility towards his father. He gave his father the true report when he went home from the day's work. But for all this, he was misunderstood and maltreated by his brethren. You know, even if you act in a faithful way, faithful towards men and faithful towards God, you also may be misunderstood. But then there came the time when Joseph was sold and he became a slave. But Joseph was faithful even as a slave. There he was faithful when he had responsibility towards Potiphar, his master. But for this, he was misrepresented and maligned by that wicked woman, Potiphar's wife. But he was faithful. He is put into prison. But Joseph is still faithful as a prison servant, there with responsibility towards the captain. Even when he was being mistreated, an innocent man cast into prison, yet, in spite of all this, he was faithful to the trust. Now, this is the time in Joseph's experience when he is brought to the lowest point of humiliation. That is, just before being raised to the highest place of exaltation. Down to the lowest, then up to the highest. However, at this point he is learning by hard and bitter experience that the place of glory is only reached by way of the path of suffering. Now, let me remind you that when Joseph was at home in his father's house, we mentioned this in a prior study. Do you remember his dreams about the sheaves bowing down to him, etc., etc.? And the interpretation of it was well known to Joseph, well known to his father and to his brothers, and they resented it. That is, that the day would come when they would all have to bow down to him, that he would be in the place of glory, something that was revealed to him by God. Now, I ask you in all fairness, if that was Joseph's thoughts of the future, that he was going to occupy the place of glory, I wonder, what was he thinking now when he was suffering in the prison? He must have thought, this is a strange, strange way to go to the place of glory, in the prison and suffering. It was only afterwards that he understood that God was working the whole plan. But may I suggest, this is a beautiful prefiguring of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was like Joseph in this. He also was despised and rejected by his own. Joseph came to his own brethren for their own welfare, and they rejected him, cast him out, they sold him. So likewise the Lord Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. Joseph was sold for a few pieces of silver. the Lord Jesus was also sold for a few pieces of silver. You will remember I have pointed out in previous studies that it was Judah who suggested to his brethren that they should sell Joseph and make some profit from it. Isn't it a strange thing that it was the man called Judas, who obviously also came of the tribe of Judah, who sold his Lord for a few paltry pieces of silver? Joseph was set at naught by the Gentiles. It was a wicked woman who maligned him, and it was this Egyptian master who put him in prison. The Lord Jesus Christ was also set at naught by the Gentiles. If Joseph was put in prison, we find him associated here with another two transgressors, the baker and the butler, who were cast into prison. When the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected, he was put outside the city walls of Jerusalem, nailed to a Roman cross, and there he was numbered with the transgressors, for there were two others crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. But just as Joseph was faithful in the midst of all his troubles, faithful as a prisoner, so the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful right unto the end. He was able to say, "Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou hast given me to do." Now I want you to notice from verses 5 through 19, here you find Joseph acting as a prophet. And in this connection, he was fearless. Joseph was a man who could speak the truth as he knew it. First of all, I suggest that Joseph was sympathetic to those in trouble. He was quick to discern when fellow prisoners were in trouble. For verse 6 says, "And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad." It seems that Joseph just required to look at their faces, and he saw sadness stamped upon their face. He was quick to discern that his fellow prisoners were in trouble, and in such a state he was sympathetic towards them. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is sympathetic towards us? The Bible distinctly says that we have a high priest who can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, having been tempted in all points such as we are, yet sin apart. That was one of the things that had to mark those who acted as priests in Israel. They had to have hearts of sympathy. They had to be sympathetic towards their fellow creatures. The Lord Jesus Christ is sympathetic. Joseph was spiritual in his understanding of problems. He could tell that God was the source of the true answer to the problem. He said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them me, I pray thee." See, here was a man who could suggest to those in trouble they should take their troubles to the Lord. You know, when men and women are in trouble, they should turn to God. When a sinner is convicted of his need and realizes he is a sinner and that something must be done about it, the only answer we can give him is this: "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When a man cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You know, we need God at all times, but we realize our need of God when we're in trouble. Could not God answer the problem? God knew it. He also knew that the man of God could be the channel for delivering the message from God to others in need, so Joseph was willing to be that channel. "Tell me," he said, "and I'll do my best, as it were, I'll tell you what it means." See, Joseph was in touch with his God. And the man who's in touch with his God is able, on the other hand, to reach out and touch his poor fellow men when they're in need. But if we're not in touch with God, we can't give much help to others. But Joseph was a man who was in touch with God in the midst of his own trouble. He was sympathetic towards others. He was a man who was very spiritual, having that contact with God, and is able to give God's message to those in need. But Joseph was a straight man, fearless in what he said. He was going to declare the truth, and it's interesting to notice what he declared. As we were reading, I took you down to that part where he told the one man what would happen, that butler would be restored to his place, told him exactly when. Then he said, "Think on me when it is well with thee." Now, when the other man heard the interpretation of the one man's dream, he thought it was time to tell his. And verse 16 says, "When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also had a dream. In my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. They lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. He gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. So Joseph was very straight in his declaration of truth. To the one man he declared a message of restoration. To the other he gave a message of condemnation. Now, it is not always easy to declare the message of condemnation, but sometimes it is necessary. You find verses in the New Testament that combine these two things together. See, Joseph spoke to the one man and said, "In 3 days, you're going to be restored. You'll be taken out of the place of bondage, you'll be taken out of prison, and you'll be restored to your true place." To the other man, he said, "In 3 days, you'll be condemned." Now, my friend, listen. When you come to the New Testament, you learn this. "He that believeth on the Son hath life." There's the message of salvation, the message of restoration, if you like. "But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God abideth on him." There is the message of condemnation. And if we're going to be fearless and be faithful in our declaration of truth, if we're going to be straight like Joseph, we'll have to give both sides of the coin. Now let me tell you this, my friend. There is a heaven, and it's God's heaven. But everybody will not be in heaven. That's perfectly clear from the reading of the scriptures. There's also another place of condemnation. It's called hell. And while some people would like to rub that out of the Bible, it's there. Remember this, there's two ways. And there's two gates. And so therefore there are two classes of people. Two gates, two ways, two paths for all, and all therein must go. Each soul on earth is making choice for life or endless woe. Joseph was straight in his declaration of truth as a prophet. He told them that one would be restored. To the other, he had to bring a message of condemnation. So let us be straight in this, that we're traveling on towards the end. Some are traveling on towards God's heaven because they've received Jesus Christ as the Savior. Others are traveling on towards God's hell because they've turned their back upon God and will not accept the offer of salvation. Joseph was fearless as a prophet. Now, Joseph as a sufferer, he asks for a favor. Did you notice as we were reading that Joseph's request was fourfold. He said to the butler, think on me, show kindness to me, make mention of me, and bring me out. Now some people have condemned Joseph for this, and they said that Joseph was asking a man to help him instead of depending on God. Well, after all, Joseph was a man of light passions such as we are. You place yourself in Joseph's position, what would you have done? He showed kindness to the butler. He knew that the butler was going to be restored. Surely it was a natural thing for him to ask a little favor. He had two reasons for asking his favor. First of all, he had been wrongfully removed from his home. Then he had been wrongfully accused and condemned. His desire was to be with his old father back in the old homestead. Having been wrongfully removed from home, having been wrongfully accused, he thought, here is my opportunity. Please speak to Pharaoh for me. Think on me when it's well with thee. Please show kindness to me. Make mention of me and get me brought out of this prison. Strange to say, of course, he was a friend to the butler. As a friend, Joseph was forgotten. The last verse of the chapter says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The 2 years in which Joseph was forgotten by the butler, whom he had befriended, must have been two of the hardest years in all his training. He was friendless, forsaken, betrayed. Nothing else he can do but wait only upon God and leave God to work. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, made a request for his disciples to remember him in a very special manner. The early Christians responded to this request and remembered the Lord on the first day of each week by a service called in the Bible the breaking of bread. Why did the church cease from this practice? Could you tell me? Why do some Christians refuse to remember the Lord today when they have the opportunity to do so? Why is it that many denominations who call themselves Christians today will not keep this service? Some hold a communion service, of course, once a year. Some hold it every 6 months. Some every 3 months. Some every month. Some when they like. The Bible practice was to remember the Lord on the first day of the week in the breaking of bread. Joseph requested the butler should remember him, but he forgot Joseph. The Lord requested that we should remember him, but unfortunately some have forgotten to do it. As a friend, Joseph is forgotten. You know, I think Joseph might well have used the words of that little verse which says, my life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow and I in foolish pride. Forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned.